We are continuing a public hearing on House Bill 5012. Welcome back, Susan Brody.
Thank you. Chair Miller and members of the committee, I'm Susan Brody, Director of the Oregon Dispute Resolution Commission. You talk about the recommendation from the Legislative Fiscal Office, we just wanted to provide an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the fee question and whether user fees may be appropriate to charge at the community program level. We indicated yesterday when our commission chair was here that there are a few programs that currently do some sliding scale fees right now, that we're certainly willing to look at that issue. But I wanted to give you a chance to hear from someone who's been associated with a community program for a long time, and Lois Kanegi, who is actually on our commission and also a longtime volunteer with one of the community programs and active on its board. I just thought it would be helpful for her to talk for a few minutes about this issue, and you can ask
that would be questions. Wonderful. We welcome you. If you would identify yourself before you proceed for our
Thank
record.
Thank you, Chair Miller. I'm Lois Kanegi. I live in Albany and in Benton County. Unfortunately, not in Senator Tro's district, but formerly was in his district. And I'm a member of the Dispute Resolution Commission. I've also worked at establishing community programs both in Benton and Linn County. And have, as a member of the commission, I take my focus has been on strengthening the community programs. Unfortunately, in the state of Oregon, community programs that are nonprofits have a real struggle to find enough dollars to keep staff at a decent wage level and provide benefits such as retirement, and to keep staff long enough so that there isn't a turnover. Some of our best staff has been lost because of, in some of the programs, has been lost because of the wage factor. Others have been able to stay on because a spouse has had a good income and they could afford to work at a low level. And some of us have done a lot of volunteer work to make sure those programs stay going. As we understand the limitations of state finances and the limitations with which you're working financially, we know, and the governor instructed our staff before the session, that there would be no additional general funds available. In the best of all worlds, we'd really love to have the state of Oregon fund community dispute resolution programs in a way that they would be stable and not always struggling to stay in operation. In Multnomah County and Marion County and probably in Lane County, where you have a larger population base, you have stronger programs for as a result of that. In other counties, oftentimes those nonprofit programs really have struggled financially. I brought with me something which I thought might be helpful for you. Excuse me, I'm passing it around. This is from the National Association for Community Mediation, and their policy statement describes what community mediation is and the characteristics. And you notice that number five includes a provision of service to clients regardless of their ability to pay. And the other thing that is extremely important, well, all of these factors are important, but that I want to highlight is number seven, the development of public awareness and educational activities about the values and practices of mediation. Now, that's not the kind of thing that you can always ask for reimbursement for when you're doing education to the community, when you're doing education to high school students and peer mediation and a lot of other things. So I would really encourage you to allow the funding as it has been, as inadequate as has been. It has nevertheless been strong enough for programs to continue, and we have a reasonably good network of community programs in our state. And I think requiring those community programs to charge fees and then be responsible for collecting those or making the policy decisions about how to collect them would be putting an undue burden upon them. On the other hand, you know, when you think of community conflicts, oftentimes one party to that conflict will come and ask for mediation. Then the question is, how do you get party number two to the table also? And that's not always easy, and the rate of that second party being willing to participate is it's not 90%. It's something, I think, closer to 40 or 50%. So if you say, now, we'd like you to come, but you're going to have to pay a fee, that participation rate, I'm sure, would go down. I really don't want to deal with this conflict with my neighbor. It's his problem. Why should I come to the table? And furthermore, why should I pay a fee? Many of our programs deal with victim offender mediation, and a lot of that is done with juvenile offenders. And here again, who are you going to charge? The victim of that crime, that offense, the juvenile who is charged with fee after fee after fee as they process, go through the system. So that also is a question that is would be on shaky grounds. I believe staff has come up with a proposed budget note to replace the budget note that you have suggested there.
And I think Robin will talk about that more. But yeah, we understand this interest and are willing as a commission to work with our community programs to look at the issue over the interim and report back to an emergency board prior to the next legislative session. But would like to have the freedom to really explore this comprehensively and not necessarily come back with an expectation that we would propose that uniformly across the board all centers would start charging user fees, but to be able to step back a little bit and look at benefits and costs. So that's it.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your testimony. One question I'd have, Ms. Nagy, is as between a taxpayer who may never pursue this mediation service or a litigant who may never pursue this mediation service or someone who is about to use the service, who do you think should be charged for the service?
Chair Miller, can I reword that question?
I thought you might.
The question to me is, who benefits by the service? And I think we have to look at the area of benefit. Who is benefiting by the fact that that problem, that conflict, whether it's a barking dog conflict or too many cars parked in the residence adjacent to my house, who benefits by solving that through mediation instead of the courts or instead of having the police being called repeatedly and repeatedly? I think the taxpayers in the city of Albany benefit when problems like that can be solved in a mediation rather than having the police make ongoing efforts there. It seems to me it's the community that benefits most. Whether I use the mediation, whether I go to court or whatever. And my preference would be that we didn't have any fees in relationship to court filings. My preference would be that this is general fund money. But the reality of our financial situation in the state of Oregon has been such that that has never seemed a likely alternative. But because the community benefits, because the state benefits, I really, as a taxpayer, I would much rather be taxed and paying that fee, covering that small budget, than having those be attached to court filing fees.
Well, I appreciate that observation, and if you further, in your review of our total budget, care to go into other programs and carve off whatever amount you think would be desirable for this program, you'd be sure and tell us.
Well, if we may look at that for next legislative session, I don't think...
I don't necessarily mean within your budget. I'm talking about our budget totally that we deal with. You go out and identify $200,000, $500,000, whatever it is you think we should cut to finance this, I'd be glad to have that information.
Well, thank you very much. I could come up with a number of ideas which I think may not be politically feasible at this point. But so, you know, we stay with where we are. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you. Senator Schroeder, do you have a question?
Well, only that the funding that the governor's recommending in this budget with some general fund support is not as good a funding as we'd like for this. It's already been cut, and it seems to me like the governor has a budget with not the best funding, but some funding, general fund funding for this program, and I think it should remain there. And so that's sort of where I am on this, and I don't think you have to cut anything else if you go along with the governor's recommendations other than to provide them this budget. Now, I know that we've got problems, and we've got to make cuts as well as we've got to find additional monies if we're going to have a decent budget for anybody around here. But I don't think that we cut away the public support for a program we want to encourage. We want to encourage this program, because it saves us money in the long run. It really does. And a little bit of public investment doesn't hurt.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Leonard.
And if I could, I've done some more in-depth analysis of this budget than my attendance at the hearing would suggest. as you know, I am very committed to finding where we can general fund revenues to free up for programs that you're speaking to that we can amass, and your commitment to us has been that what we can save, and we know that those are actual savings, we can plow back towards the end of the session into other programs, and I'm committed to work with you to do that. What I have learned in the discussions I've had with the governor's office on this budget and others is that this actually saves fees from state agencies that otherwise might be spent for AG costs in disputes between state agencies and some citizens. So the cuts I make, I want to be cuts that are smart, that are cuts that will actually save us money, not just in the short term, but in the long term, that we can actually subsist without. I have come to the conclusion that this, albeit a small cut, could end up costing us more on the other side in terms of AG costs to state agencies. I've been persuaded to that, and it's been hard to persuade me, but I have been persuaded to that side that not having a program like this in place would have disputes that otherwise would end up in court be resolved. Not having this program in place would have disputes that otherwise would be resolved through mediation end up in court. So I am concerned about the LFO recommendation only because I'm afraid that what appears like what we're saving over here is going to cost us more than what we've saved on the other hand.
Thank you. Always a delight to have you with us. Under any circumstances. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you again.
Mr. Chair, would the committee like to perhaps address the two budget notes and determine what they want to do about this fee issue before we move through the rest of my recommendations?
Well,
could we ask Ms. Brody to explain how her budget note's different and what it does that's different?
Senator Trowes just answered your question, Robin. So,
I'm sorry.
I guess we'll proceed with that.
I'm sorry.
It would be fine. It was my understanding that this would not be wouldn't necessarily impact the current budget
Mr. Chair, it would not. It would not.
But as long as we're on it, go ahead, Susan, if you want to comment.
Chair Miller, yes. I think the primary difference between the budget note that we proposed and the one that Robin has proposed in her staff report is the one that Robin proposed refers to returning with recommendations for legislation to implement the fees. And we would like to step back a little bit from that and really examine whether legislation is even required to implement fees, because we don't believe it would be, and to look more thoroughly at what fee collection might mean at the community program level, given the wide variety of community programs that exist, some with very tiny staffs operating with less than a half-time paid staff position, and that's it. We're not sure that requiring all programs to impose fees would be feasible or prudent. And we recognize you're not asking us to do that now, or you're not proposing legislation in this session. But as we come back to you, we'd like to bring back to the e-board a really thorough look at both the benefits and costs of that approach, and have the freedom to return to say we don't believe, if that's what we conclude, that legislation is appropriate. There may be other ways of doing it through statute or through, not through statute, but through rule changes. It may be important to have some variability in how programs collect user fees. We're certainly not opposed to the idea of examining whether more reliance on user fees at the community program level would be helpful. In fact, we think it could be to supplement the existing surcharge on court filing fee revenues.
I appreciate that final statement very much, because it's been my experience that if we ask somebody who is much opposed to an idea to go out and evaluate its feasibility, we could probably write the report today. But if we're convinced, if this committee's convinced that it's going to be a genuine investigation and evaluation, then that's something that could be of comfort to the members when we discuss this. Representative Doyle, you had a particular interest in this subject, which I appreciate. If you have a comment as to...
Sure, and if I may ask a question.
Sure.
I guess from what I gathered yesterday and today is that we basically, it seems to me that there's different classes of disputes that the centers would deal with. Is that, I mean, generally we're, it's like even the example this morning of, you could have a barking dog case, you could have some property dispute, you could have something that you know is going to head into litigation. And I guess my concern on wanting to stay focused on making sure that we do establish some kind of user fees, and I think the way that the LFO budget note was proposed gives quite a bit of flexibility to look at those different classifications of disputes to determine what those kind of fees should be, which would include maybe even with some disputes maybe being zero, or depending on the maybe the individual's ability to pay. You know, that it seems to me the budget note is covering those kinds of issues, that with still the focus being, and I guess my focus is, that if we know there's going to be cases that, if not for the mediation, would be heading to court, that, you know, those people that have a valid dispute and, you know, say, this is where we're heading, why not, you know, look at a minimal fee to use this service, and then, you know, ultimately, I think we even put in there a process for waiving fees, that if it turns out they come to a center first and say, we've got this legitimate dispute, let's try and resolve it here, we pay our fee, and we still can't get it resolved, it has to go to court, you know, that even there's a mechanism for the trial court to waive the dispute resolution surcharge, because, you know, it's already been tried. And it seems to me that there's enough flexibility here to allow some disputes not to have fees charged, but I think the overall direction is that in those areas where we have issues that we know are going to trial or would go to court otherwise, you know, that we need to look at helping those people resolve those things for a much more minimal cost than if they even set up a filing fee. I mean, if they have to pay a filing fee in court, they're already at $160 or $170. what can we do to prevent that from happening, and yet them still recognizing that because it's the budget constraints that we have in the state, that they basically don't get this service for free. And I guess as a commentary, as a lawyer, is that, you know, mediation, especially in those kinds of disputes where they're heading to trial, one of the, at least the problems that arise is that the parties tend to use mediation nothing for no more than free discovery, you know, where they're able to learn the other side's issues and see how they're going to be able to either prosecute or defend it. And, you know, they ought to be able to have a mechanism to that they're at least paying something for the service that's being provided. So I see that the budget note the LFO office has provided gives us at least the mandate to look, or that there will be user fees, but still give enough flexibility to the commission to decide how to recommend those fees to be used. And I'd appreciate your comments on that.
Well, Representative Doyle, Chair Miller, let me talk just about a few things that I'm concerned about, and then maybe this language would be okay in light of that. But one of the things I'm concerned about is that we might determine by taking a thorough look at this that there are some community programs, not just classes of cases, but whole community programs, where it would be a huge administrative burden for them to collect and process a fee. We have a number of community programs that have a half-time staff person, period. Actually, we have some who have less than half-time staff people and are operating totally beyond that with volunteers. So it could be that we would come back and say, looking at the full range of community centers that are out there, that it makes sense that some of them have the capacity, administrative capacity, to collect fees and others do not. That is, there might be more costs involved to just collect that fee than would even be recouped from the charging of fees. So that's one issue. And I was just concerned that the budget note goes to the conclusion that legislation requiring centers, all centers, to implement user fees would be drawn from that. And so I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about, and you're right, you know, you could waive fees, presumably, for lower income clients. But then what kind of a process would need to happen at the community program level to determine whether someone was, in fact, low income? How much paperwork would have to be involved to process a waiver? Would the commission need to get involved? Those kinds of things. So those are a couple of concerns I have. Against the backdrop of, yes, we think that there could be more use of user fees in community programs if done correctly and in a way that actually, you know, doesn't involve too much administrative overhead. So that's why some of my language just tries to open it up a little bit to make sure that we're able to present kind of the full analysis.
I mean, I guess as far as administrative costs are concerned, I would anticipate that a user fee would take that into account, and that although it's not even set up in the budget note on how the funds that are collected would be directed, but it would seem to me to make sense that if these community centers need to engage in further administrative costs for collections of fees, that the fee would help account for that. So that as we looked at the numbers yesterday with 6,000 cases per year that are being dealt with, not including, I don't think that included the public.
No, those were with by the community.
Okay. That, you know, what I was looking at was, you know, 12,000 cases per biennium. A $10 fee covers the $120,000 request for the general fund that's being requested this time around, and that only equates to a $10 fee per case, and it would seem reasonable to me that, you know, if there was an additional expense for administration of collection of fees, you know, an extra couple of bucks added onto that probably isn't going to hurt it, and it's not going to deter people from using the service, recognizing still, you know, that there are those at low income that just couldn't even afford a $5 fee, basically. And I guess I would look at it, too, that you look at the cost per case, and like with issues now, is that, you know, people who are wanting to initiate a dispute resolution and the other party doesn't care to do that, I mean, what we're talking about is a fee for the case. We're not talking about fee per party, and part of the mediation process is deciding how that's going to be paid. And, you know, if one side says, I just don't agree that I should even be here, there's nothing to resolve, then it's that instigating party that's going to have to pay that full fee, you know, if it's a $10 fee or whatever. So it still goes back to whether, you know, as the legislature, when we want to mandate user fees that will be part of this, or allowing the commission to come back to say whether user fees should be allowed. From my perspective, and knowing where I think the budget is this year and what we're going to deal with 2 years from now, we are going to have user fees for these services. And I just assume, you know, set the mandate out now so that we can get it covered, have the 2 years to plan for it, know exactly what we're up against this next biennium, as opposed to taking these next 2 years trying to figure out whether to even have fees and then have to go through another discussion in 2 years on what those fees may be and whether to mandate them.
Thank you, Representative. I'm reminded of the public service announcement I used to see on television. I haven't seen it for a while, but some PSA for government publications that you could order out of Pueblo, Colorado. And there was just a whole host of free booklets you could get from your government. And I was offended by the notion that anybody would peddle the idea that we could get anything for free from this government. This service is not free, even if there's no charge. We just have to get beyond that. What I would say, I mean, it's amazing how we can set up hurdles to collection if we don't want to collect. Seems to me that the test used to be, in terms of indigent clients, was would charging you for the service create a substantial hardship? And if the answer was yes, they didn't pay. And there were some places where it appeared that some of the clients were abusing that questionnaire. So maybe we redoubled our efforts to perhaps do a little bit of background check, but most people are probably basically honest. And somebody who's coming in with lawyers in a mediation situation probably would have a hard time convincing me that they couldn't pay $10. So why don't we ask those who would be willing to pay? They'll still come. And to the extent that it offsets the need for some general fund help, well, fine. We'll see how much we can collect. Then we'll have less of a requirement of the general fund to supplement the shortfall. It'll be less of a shortfall. So in respect to the two budget notes, to me, the operative word is evaluate, and it's in both of them. I don't find that particularly taxing.
That's true. And seems to me that either of the budget notes gets us to an evaluation of whether or not there
exactly.
should be fees. I do think, though, that we don't need to say that in this budget note that we're mandating that there will be fees.
I don't think this note says that.
Well, as I heard Representative Doyle talk, I thought he was saying that it did, and he wanted that in it. I don't know that we need to have a mandate that there will be fees. I think one can also justify a commitment of tax dollars to a small commitment of tax dollars to this kind of an operation, because it's in the community's interest as well to resolve these disputes. And, you know, we subsidize the court system substantially with general fund dollars as well. And this is a small subsidization to a program that probably in the long run saves us a lot of money, and it shows a community involvement in it. And a fee is a tax as well as the income tax that we all pay for these common things that we need. And so I don't know that we need to have a mandate, but we ought to have a study. Let's see if it makes sense to do this. do it on an individual basis, and certainly the $10 fee is not an excessive fee, clearly. It may not get in the way, but let's see. It might be perfectly feasible to do in some places and not in others, and maybe you want to give them some latitude in terms of whether or not they impose it or not, based on the circumstances. So that's why I sort of like the suggestion of our friends here who run the program, that they're willing to look at this, and their budget note makes a good deal of sense. It doesn't keep us from doing anything, really, except a mandate, which I don't think we necessarily need to say at this point.
Thank you, Senator Trow. again, looking to on our memorandum regarding the budget note, it says the commission is directed to evaluate establishing. And again, I think the word evaluate to me means that, you know, we could require it if we left out evaluate.
But, Mr. Chair, it does go on to define, at least in part, what evaluation is. In the last sentence, it says the evaluation should consider a structure for imposing and collecting the fees,
yes,
processes for waiving the fees, and the purpose for which the
that gets close to a mandate.
It does. I mean, when I read that, that's what I thought.
Evaluate to consider. That doesn't sound to me. I mean, my kids could argue out of that being a mandate real fast. I use that language.
Well, we can't mandate by budget note anyway. We all know that. But
actually, when I read it, I thought it was directing them to. That's how I interpreted it originally. Before this discussion, I appreciate the discussion, but it is how my initial reading of that was.
Well, staff has suggested also we could consider, after the word recommendations in the first sentence, mm-hmm, add including any potential for legislation. Three words, including any potential. I mean, that softens it, mm-hmm, a little more.
That would work. Mm-hmm.
And did you want this in here, too?
No, that's a note to myself.
So establish recommendations.
Chairman, I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
How many citizens use community mediation?
Well, in the statistics that we talked about yesterday in the... I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
No, that's very good.
He was going to say it.
I was just going to pull it out. We had some numbers to show you, and we have, just as a review, we have 27 community programs that we help to fund. The number of clients served in the 99 to 2000 fiscal year was over 19,000. There were total number of cases of over 6,000. There were, but in addition to that, there are even a larger number of people who are reached through the citizen education programs, both in the schools and in the community. So,
substantial.
Would one want the fees to include the citizen education program?
Makes sense.
Would you want the fees to include the citizen education program, too, and the cost of that?
I guess I would... I would look at it as a revenue source that would help the entire program, and to me it just makes sense that we see that as, I guess, inclusive.
So if it takes a couple bucks more to have an education program, you charge the folks being...
I guess it boils down to getting it out of the general fund and making it self-sustaining.
Or reducing the requirement of the general fund, or offset by collection of reasonable fees. Well, let's see if we can move on this proposed.
Probably need to go to a work session.
You know, we do.
Sorry.
See, that's why I was nervous about starting this without you being here.
Sorry.
Yes.
Just one quick question. In my budget note, I said report back to the emergency board by September of 2002. To give us about a year to really look at this thoroughly, and I was just hopeful that would be the expectation here.
Mr. Chair, we don't need to amend the budget note to do that. We can just make sure that it's in the budget report.
All right, thank you for that observation. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5012. We'll open a work session on House Bill 5012. We're into a discussion of the proposed budget note in the memorandum that is before you, dated February 19, and it's point number 5. On page 1, Representative Doyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move adoption of the LFO budget note, and known in, or described in paragraph number 5, with the
including any potential prior to after the word recommendations in line 1.
That's it.
All right.
Line 3.
Did we have it? Yeah, let's see.
Line 3.
Read it.
You're right. First sentence. First sentence. I'm sorry. Line three. It would be, the Dispute Resolution Commission is directed to evaluate establishing user fees for services provided by community dispute resolution centers and to report to the emergency board with recommendations, including any potential for legislation to implement the fees. The evaluation should consider a structure for imposing and collecting the fees, processing for waiving the fees, and the purposes for which the commission could use the fees that are collected. For discussion? Objection? Hearing and seeing none, the budget note will be included. Now we'll go back up to the top of the page here and we'll see how far we can get before we implode. Robin?
Mr. Chair, members, if you would turn to page 3 of 4 on the spreadsheet, you can see the adjustments that I am recommending. First of all, the recommendation is to approve a revised current service level of $2,058,274. This is a reduction of 1,772 other funds and reflects a reduction in the PERS assessment rate, a reduction in the DAS assessment rate for human resources, and $966 in reduced attorney general assessments.
Mr. Chair, I move that we accept LFO's report on that item.
Thank you, Senator Trow. Senator Trow moves the items just discussed under point 1 of the memorandum. Their discussion.
I'm a little confused.
That's just the technical adjustment.
Does not include the general fund discussion
okay.
that you
okay. just the yeah, technical okay. adjustment.
That's okay. point 3.
That's all it is, as I understand it. It's just the technical adjustment.
I thought you were ramrodding this thing through.
Oh no.
Point 3 is the one you wanted.
I didn't know whether I wanted to
pull out. Well,
let him go.
You don't think we?
I'm just like the budget note. We're agreeing to the agreeable.
Yeah. Last another 5 minutes. Okay.
Five.
Representative Leonard, you all right now?
I'm all right now. Thank you, Senator Miller.
Okay. If there's no objection, the motion is approved. Robin.
Approve the policy package 100, which is basically a technical adjustment in the agency's budget and is included in the governor's recommended budget. And again, that is an other funds adjustment.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I would move approval of that, right?
Okay. Thank you, Senator Troll. Right. Moves approval of policy package 100. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, it is approved. Can we skip the 4, Rob?
Actually, we could.
Okay.
What we are discussing in this budget is are two things. One is the elimination of general fund support, which has been a recommendation now for the last 2 biennia in this agency's budget, that the agency support itself with the surcharge on the civil filing fees. That is tied to a recommendation that the statutory structure that currently exists for distributing these filing fees be revised. Currently, and you can see that on the, there's a handout attached to your, to these recommendations, and it's called Filing Fees Surcharge Existing. Currently by statute, 20% of the filing fees are distributed to the Department of Administrative Services. The Department of Administrative Services then, as is shown on the next handout, distributes those funds to four state agencies to support what are called cluster coordinators that are cited in those agencies. What has happened is that, as I briefly discussed yesterday, the filing fees are not sufficient to pay the costs of these cluster coordinators. The agencies do not have enough resources to make up the difference. DAS asked for $281,000 in additional general fund to support these positions, and that request was not approved. So then the question became, how do you continue this public policy dispute resolution program with some degree of continuity given the existing resources? And the recommendation is to restructure how the dollars flow so that they flow through the Dispute Resolution Commission. You retain the collaborative structure that folks talked about yesterday, but you make the Dispute Resolution Commission accountable for the distribution of the funds that go to support the cluster coordinators, or however it is that folks decide to structure this, given the shortfall in resources.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Leonard.
I'm just having a hard time getting past these terms. General government cluster. I mean, can we come up with another way of the transportation cluster?
Mr. Chair, members, that is not my terminology. And perhaps Susan, perhaps.
I'm just having a hard time getting past those clusters. Focus on that.
Perhaps Susan can speak to where that terminology came
from. Oh, that's
from,
all right.
That is what, that
maybe
is how
the GGC,
Mr. Chair, you know, maybe this makes sense to do, but we haven't really had much of an analysis of it. We haven't heard from DAS. I don't know whether DAS is considered doing this or not. We've got a motion that has an elimination of general fund, $119,000, and then to do this as well. Is that part of that motion?
Mr. Chair, members,
or is that the next? Is that number four?
We haven't done three. We're not doing three yet.
No, we're not doing three, and this is four, which
right.
We do this.
Right.
And maybe this makes sense, but why didn't we have a good discussion of this while we were having the hearing on the budget? So we could have a chance to hear from everybody who's involved in it.
Actually, Mr. Chair, that's what we did yesterday.
Did we? Okay.
That's
really?
Why we.
Well, a lot of these folks weren't here. I was here, but not too many folks have heard it even. Right? So if we did it, I wasn't terribly conscious that we were doing it. And somebody should have said, hey, we're doing something here. That's going to be a major recommendation in the budget.
Watching on closed circuit.
Thank you for the benefit of the
And Mr. Chair and members, we will have that policy discussion when we have a substantive bill in front of us. But conceptually,
okay. Well, then, why don't we wait and have the bill before we make the budget decision?
Well, let me see if other members have likewise on
that. But it does seem like three and four are parcel of one another. It's,
yeah,
it's kind of difficult to discuss four without resolving three.
Mr. Chair, members, you could eliminate the general fund without making this revision. There is no absolute tie to it. However, LFO believes that if the general fund is eliminated, these revisions would be helpful in ensuring that the program continues within the structure.
But I'm talking the other side of that coin. We need to discuss whether or not we're going to eliminate the general fund before we make a decision to implement recommendation four. And I'm not there yet.
Robin, let me ask you as a practical matter, if we adopted this recommendation,
mm-hmm.
as I read it, it is just that. It's a recommendation that we do these following outlined suggestions. The amendments, it says, that would be in, or would be included in a substantive bill and would do the following. We're recommending that.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
We're not mandating that.
Yes.
So this is just kind of a policy advance. It's a endorsement by this committee. If you believe in it, fine. If you don't want to do that, fine. It's not going to affect the money right now.
Well, you know, I never know about LFO's recommendations. They usually get worked on. They usually happen, whether they're recommendations or whatever. It can be stuck in the bill, and boom, it happens.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, item number four was a request that this committee basically indicate its willingness to pursue this avenue. Mm-hmm. Item number four will not happen without a substantive
bill. Without the bill coming, but a bill is coming. If we approve this, then we've basically made a decision about the bill before the bill's in front of us.
Chair Miller, would it be inappropriate for me to say a few words about the impact of this? Thank you. There are two things that I'm concerned about. One is if you eliminate the general fund from our budget and separately pursue the change in the legislation, but that change in the legislation does not happen, I just want you to fully understand what would be the result. The Dispute Resolution Commission could no longer participate in the public policy dispute resolution program because we fund our participation in that program through the general fund money right now, and we do not have an alternative for using surcharge funds at this point to fund that work. So there is a danger that if you eliminate our general fund, that this other piece of legislation doesn't pass, is that we are out of the picture and cannot fulfill our responsibility under the statute, under ORS 183-502, that requires the dispute resolution to participate in the public policy dispute resolution program. So that's one point. The second point is that even if for, let's say you eliminate the general fund money and changes to ORS 36 are approved as proposed here, I want you to understand that the net result for the public policy dispute resolution program is that we would probably have to, I'm almost certain we would have to eliminate two positions that currently serve the dispute resolution program. So as you heard yesterday, this is a collaborative effort among three agencies, DAS, ODRC, and Department of Justice, plus this participation we have from coordinating agencies that have cluster coordinators in them. And if the 422 was retained by the Dispute Resolution Commission, presumably we could use some of that to fund our participation in the dispute resolution program, in the public policy program. But we would have to trade that off against having staff out in the agencies to provide services. So the overall impact would be very severe for the program. It would cut back considerably on the level of service we could provide to agencies and state government to help promote the use of alternative dispute resolution.
One point I would make, Mr. Chair, members, is that we are already in difficulty. The question becomes, how is the best way to preserve this program and the collaborative process that's in place, given the fact that the additional general fund was not provided and that the resources that are currently going to agencies is not sufficient to support their portion of these cluster coordinators. And I was disappointed yesterday because one of the things I had requested Mr. Wolf and the gentleman from DOJ to speak to was the issue of how they were going to deal with the shortfall in the resources and what recommendations could be brought forward to preserve the program within the resources that will be available. So regardless of what we do with this budget, we have a problem in funding the public policy dispute resolution program as it is currently structured. So the goal is to look at what we can do within existing resources to maintain that collaborative relationship and the process that's in place within the resources that are available for the program.
Okay, thank you, Robin. Thank you, Susan. Senator Trow, I'd take it that you're not...
I'm really not ready to vote on either of three or four.
Okay.
And I would like to have more discussion. I'd like to see the bill, and I'd like to hear from DAS about what they think ought to be done.
DAS is welcome to come forward at this point.
Okay.
And on this side, Senator Trow, Senator Miller, it doesn't matter what I think.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes. We're always looking for the unanimous.
Hey, it matters to me.
I understand Senator Trow has a little better situation than you do
yes.
at this point.
I'm just talking strategy.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Saying whether or not my opinion's important.
Critical. Monica.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Monica Brown, Department of Administrative Services. Thank you, Senator Trow, for the opportunity to speak to this. I think we have some concerns about the elimination of the general fund support at this point. In talking with the agency prior in developing the governor's budget, in the next biennium, we were fully aware that the agency would need to look at additional surcharge or additional revenues at that point, and we were expecting or anticipating that they would consider moving away from the general fund support at that point through potential surcharges or restructuring the program and looking at a broader-based approach. And I think the discussion that Ms. Brody had in talking about the budget note in wanting to truly evaluate how best to look at fees, how best to look at the system approach to not only the public policy but as well as the community dispute center approach is really what we would like to have the opportunity in this biennium to do, is to continue this general fund support for an additional biennium and allow them the opportunity to really look at the program holistically and say, how are we going to approach the declining revenues while sustaining the program? And I think at this point, elimination of the general fund in option number three eliminates that one position. So again, the commission wouldn't be participating. They wouldn't have the staff to do that and really do a lot of the work that they're working through. I think one option that we could look at is if you really feel that you need to eliminate the general fund at this point, to leave the position there and direct the commission to look at applying for potentially grants to fund the position, or should the surcharge come in higher than what it has, that they would have some flexibility to maybe maneuver around using other funds or potentially federal funds to support the position if you really feel it's necessary to take the general funds. I think the governor's office would not like to see you take the general funds. They feel that this is a good investment of $120,000. And I think the steering committee would continue to work with the cluster agencies to look at how they would meet the shortfall since the package in the DAS budget was not approved, but really allow them the flexibility over the next biennium to continue working rather than make an obvious reduction to services at this point. And these proposals would be a significant reduction in not maintaining services to the program.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Doyle.
Thank you. Just about, I guess, the recognition by DAS from what's been described as previous legislatures wanting to eliminate the general fund support for this program. And I think the decision to go one more biennium.
Previous LFO recommendations. Not the legislature agreeing with them.
Senator Trow?
Excuse me, I just...
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, just to clarify that in that direction, sorry.
Can I speak now?
That direction was in their budget reports.
So is it the LFO?
It's not law. It's in the budget reports. It's LFO's description of a budget in the budget report.
So I guess just your reaction to those directions.
Representative Chair Miller and budget Representative report. Doyle, the budget note encouraged us to look at
replacing the general fund dollars with other fund revenues, we looked at that. We took the budget notes seriously. We looked at that, and we worked with the DAS budget analyst and with our steering committee. We couldn't see a way to do that without increasing the surcharge on court filing fees. So our thought was keep, we actually did decrease the amount of general fund that's in the budget by $30,000 over what's in it this biennium. So we went to $150,000 of general fund support to $120,000 of general fund support.
What is
and
it
then
say?
What we felt was important to do was to have that funding to get us through this biennium while we could take a look at whether there were other options for maintaining that position. We were not ready to come forward with a request for an increase in the surcharge for, you know, some of the reasons you've talked about already today, and also because that affects such a huge constituency of people. There's the dispute resolution surcharge that goes into our budget, but then there are surcharges on, as you know, other court filing fees, and all those players really need to be at the table if we're to look at some kind of increases. We knew that was not a prudent thing to do and that we didn't have time to do it in the context of this session. So we're asking for that additional amount of time. We were not able to see an easy route for doing it, but we did certainly examine it, and we would like the direction to proceed with doing that work to eliminate general fund in the next biennium for 2003, and to look at restructuring options that would be appropriate, giving us the time to really look at those restructuring options in a reasonable way, hearing from the different constituents that we have.
Well, what I'm going to do is give the members of this committee at least another day to ponder this. And I'm going to take a look at Thursday. There's a little tour scheduled of the state police facilities. If that tour concludes at a time where allow us to be back in here and conclude work on this bill, then we'll do it. If not, then we'll wait until we have the time. But I would recommend to those committee members who have concerns about points 3 and 4 in particular that go ahead and follow the calling and investigating and questioning that you care to do in the next 48 hours or thereabouts, and then we'll come back and make a decision.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Leonard.
Does this mean we're not going to get donuts tomorrow?
No, we can still arrange. But, I mean, I appreciate that. And what I also appreciate for all the members is that we all have views on how to craft this budget, and I respect the views of those who agree with the majority, dissent from time to time. That's okay. That's our purpose.
So,
if there's nothing further to come before the committee, we are adjourned.